Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Keep this frequency clear.
Are you ready?
Smack my fetch.
Coming at you. Welcome to another edition of Amp Radio, another MMA podcast. Guys, we're coming at you live and unedited from the mean streets of San Bruno, California, the home of the hipsters. And we're coming at you live and unedited with UFC Fight Night Bermudez versus the Korean Zombie, also known as UFC Fight Night 104 in Houston. It will be held, of course, this week in February 4th at the Toyota Center in the Houston, Texas. Speaking of which, one of our hosts is in Texas. And alongside of me, not my boy, my yin to my yang, Proteus, is not with us today. So hopefully he heals up. We'll see him. I don't think he's doing a show tomorrow. I don't think he's going to be on until Sunday, I think. But let's get into it, guys. This is not a bad card. As I dare say, it's better than the pay-per-view that Pam was preparing for. UFC 2.
Oh, my gosh.
Right? Let's meet our host.
Don't be talking to me. I was ready for that one.
Yeah. Let's meet our host.
Yeah. The I was having a blonde Pam. Moment.
That's all right. Hey, we y'all. Love blondes. Hit the music.
From the south. Remember, from the south.
The down south herself. And I said north.
From the south.
A lovely Pam.
I know, right? Buddy.
The beautiful Pam, American woman indeed. Now, boy, now I'm Proteus with the indeed. And let's meet the one who's hosting UFC Fight Night 104 and the Super. Hit his music.
Marco from Hueco Doors. Que pasa, vatos and lady? You're having technical difficulties. You're skipping a lot. What's wrong with that?
Oh, no. Am I having technical issues?
A little bit.
Darn it.
A little
That's
bit.
What I
Just
get
a little.
From
we'll power
the movie Dan Bruno. Is it, does it still sound bad? If, otherwise, I'll call in.
Do you have a cold?
No,
you know what? Let me call in. Hang on, because it might be... Hang on, guys. I'm having... Man, that's what I get for moving right next door to YouTube, right? They're taking all the bandwidth.
You sound good right now. You sound good right now.
All right, don't
touch. Please.
Yes. Yeah. Stand
Bruno,
where you are.
Bruno.
Yeah, Bruno. Don't move them. Off. Right? Right, Pee-wee? Hold on. Here comes someone from YouTube. All right, there we go. All right, guys, let's get into it. UFC Fight Night 104 in Marco's home state. Sort of, Houston. Before we get into it, guys, who do you have for the Super Bowl? Marco?
Who's playing?
Oh, my God.
I hate to admit it, but I'm pulling for the Patriots, man. That Donald Trump-loving Tom Brady can... the only reason I'm pulling for him is because of that deflator. I think they did him so wrong. I don't want him so sticky to Roger Goodell. I don't really care about the Falcons, you know. I was even stationed in Georgia, Ooh. You know, back in the days before Benning. I never cared about the Falcons. So I'm rooting for the Patriots. I want to see history made, you know, 5 Super Bowls, best quarterback ever, and all that crap. And I'm big on, like, making history. Atlanta can get a Super Bowl next year. No, this year, it's all about the Patriots.
I'm secretly rooting. So, Pam, it's going to be Atlanta Falcons versus the one and only yeah. – and Dean will get happy about this. And so will Russ, right, from Boston. But it's going to be Atlanta Falcons versus the New England, don't call us Boston, Patriots. And I'm picking the Patriots, even though I want the Falcons to win. I'm choosing the Patriots and, frankly, a route.
Do you know what? Don't even ask me because I had to ask Paul the other day. Who's playing the Super Bowl? I don't keep up with it. To me, I'm thinking John Elway plays for Denver, so don't even ask
You
me.
Are definitely on ISIS, man. Al Qaeda is already picking out your petition to join them.
Oh my gosh!
Oh my goodness! So disappointed. So disappointed. There is a bully go somewhere crying right now.
But I would say, I don't know. I guess it's, you know what? I don't care.
Ooh.
Surprise me.
Oh my
God. Is that too funny? And it's, the funny thing is, 1,000
We're
years
breaking
ago,
up
I was
again.
I was a big football fan, and I just got bored of it.
In the 80s?
Yeah, I was the big Denver fan. And I told you I had the biggest crush on Howie Long when he played for the Raiders, when he played for Oakland. I followed him since he played for Villanova. So I'm dating myself.
Oh my.
But yeah, I just got bored of it, you know?
He still has good hair too. And his wife is a lawyer and she's hot. Hold on. I think Honda Housie just left a message for you.
Fetch.
Oh, man. Mm-hmm. All right, guys. Let's get into it. UFC Fight Night. We have 6 fights, you guys. So I don't know if we're going to have time for anything else. So let's get into it, guys. To the women's strawweight we go, guys. Hang on. Let me see. Make sure I'm not missing a fight before we go into this. Boy, you know what? I was traveling. I just came back from Portland, and I think I got a contact high being over there, you guys. Let's get into it. Let's go to the main card. Women's strawweight, we go, guys. Jessica Andrade, 25 years old. And you know what? She looks older than that. 15-5, guys. 5'2". Even though the Andrade is a smaller fighter, gosh, she's fought at Bantamweight. You guys know she will be fighting the one and only Angela Overhill. Overkill? Hill? 32 years young. She looks young. 6-2, guys, and 5'3". So this is a battle of the shorties. Angela Hill, she's a good young fighter, guys, albeit mainly a Muay Thai fighter, right, Marco? She's improved dramatically since going to Invicta. She wasn't really impressed in the UFC, nor in Tough, actually, losing 2 straight to Tisha Torres and Rose Namajunas when she had hair. She's won 4 straight, though, guys, in Invicta. Andrade, of course, again, she has fought much bigger fighters, right? She did lose to Rocky Pennington and lost to friend to the show, Marion Renault. Andrade has won 2 straight in strawweight, impressively, actually, beating the beautiful Jessica Penn and Joanne Calderwood. We go to the one and only Marco. What you got?
A lot of people are on the Jessica Andrade bandwagon, and I got to admit, so do I. But I all my picks are not going to make too much sense today because I'm going with my heart and not my head. I'm really hard what Angela Overkill here has been doing an Invicta. You know, she's the Invicta strawweight champion, mind you. Andrade, everything tells you that, you know, her physicality, her jiu-jitsu, and I know the fact that she dropped 20 pounds from bantamweight all the way to a strawweight, you know, she must be the better athlete. She might or might not be on Brazilian supplements, who knows, but I like where Angela Hill is right now, you know, her mentally, you know, fighting-wise, she got confidence, and she took this fight. You know, she could have said no, but she took it, you know. She got the exemption from USADA, even though she didn't want to take the exemption because they needed her for this car. And I'm going to go, you know, on a limb and take Angela Hill. I'm going to take Angela Hill on points. Andrade is really good on the first round, on the second round, but if Hill is able to keep her away, you know, from the ground, Hill is a better striker, by far the better striker. And she might be able to kick her, you know, a distance with her jab because she got a very well-educated jab and overpoint her, like 29-28 decision for Angela Hill.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I'm shocked by that. We go to the lovely lady, Pam. Andrade versus Angela Hill.
Okay. I'm going with Jessica on this one. I just think that she's a more rounded fighter as far as her submissions, takedown, and striking. Angela, I do like her. She's fun to watch. She's a very exciting fighter. But almost 100% of her fighting is striking. And Jessica is very strong with her submissions, very strong with her takedowns, and very good with her striking, too. I think she's just going to be a little... I think she's just going to be a little bit stronger than Angela. And keep in mind, she's been chomping at the bit to fight because she didn't get put on that last card. Do you remember? They couldn't find an opponent for her. So she's been ready to go. So this girl's ready to fight. And I think Jessica's going to take it. And I believe it's going to be probably, I would say, maybe round two submission.
Yeah, you know what, guys? I usually agree with everything Marco says. Boy, I guess he is fighting with he is choosing his heart this time. I love Angela Hill. Yeah. I think she's hilarious. I think she's hilarious on Twitter.
So cool. Mm-hmm.
I just don't see her beating. I think Andrade has heavier hands. Andrade has fought at a fight at a higher weight. I think she's fought longer fighters. I just don't see a road to victory for Angela Hill. I mean, I just don't see it, guys. So I'm choosing Andrade with a submission over Angela
Hill. Well,
you
know, when I was in Vegas and I went down to the Junkie Studio, and she, when I was leaving, she was actually outside waiting to come in. And I actually went and talked to her and said hello. And I touched her arm. And that thing was like a freaking metal pipe, man. And that arm was like rock hard. I was like, oh,
whose arm?
Know?
Yeah, whose arm?
Jessica.
Wow.
Whoa.
She was like a tree trunk, man.
It was like, she was rock solid hard and all freaking muscle, you know? And Angela, to me, is like tall and lean. And like I said, I think Jessica just has too much. I think she's going to be just a little bit stronger. And as I said, I think she's more well-rounded in submission, takedown, and striking.
What did you say that Jessica was? She was strong what?
Like a tree trunk.
No, she was strong,
I said her
hard.
I said she's stronger. And
no,
that she was well-rounded.
Oh, man. Do you kiss your mother with that mouth? Good Lord. Strong, hard,
there you go.
And long. Good Lord.
There you go, chingandoing again. Jeez.
All right, guys, let's move up to the...
Or as they would say, no mommies, okay?
There you go. Oh, my gosh. Can we bleep that out? Yeah. All right, there goes our rating in Spanish.
That was in Spanish.
Yeah. All right, guys, let's go to the big boys, to the heavyweights we go, guys. And you know what? I'll tell you this. I'm not impressed with this Google connection that we have here, guys. I move over to Tech City, San Bruno, in a new gig. And, boy, it's falling apart. Here we go, guys. We go up to the big boys. Anthony Hamilton, 36 years young, going up against Marcel Fortuna. 31, Fortuna 8-1. He's 6'1". This Dragon House fighter has won 5 in a row, mainly via submissions, guys. So this Ralph Gracie fighter is making his UFC debut. Fortuna's going up in weight though, because he's normally a 205er. Going up against one of our favorites, a Jackson Wink fighter. He's lost action to Francis Ngannou. He's 2-3 in his last 5 and a salty 6-4 in his last 10. Although I think Hamilton is very talented. We go to the one and only. To the lovely Pam we go. Pammy, what you got?
Okay, so myself, you know, I really don't know a lot about him. You know what? I'm losing my internet connection. Anthony Hamilton, he's mostly a wrestler, where Fortuna is 33-33-33 as far as subs, takedown, and striking. So Hamilton is kind of half and half, and then there's such a big weight difference between these two. Height difference, yeah. No. Weight difference, you know, there's a 4-inch. And I'm just going to say, I'm just going with Hamilton being – I don't know. It's like he's bigger, but, you know, sometimes the bigger they are, the harder they fall. I'm going to take a chance, and I'm going to go with Fortuna on this.
Wow. Darn, what's up with you guys going with the underdogs?
Well,
we go to
I'm going with Fortuna on this one.
Wow. May the fortunes be with you, right? Let's go to the one and only man who's hosting the Super Bowl and the UFC card that Pam forgot about, UFC Fight Night 104. Marco, what you got?
I wish it was rolling on that kind of dough. I wouldn't be doing this podcast.
Oh, damn. Oh, my gosh.
Anthony Hamilton, man, the last image I got of him is getting his arm almost ripped out of his body by Ngannou. That is the last image I got of him. And he's a serviceable heavyweight, but he's not a great heavyweight. You know, he's the guy that you throw up there to test some prospects. And, they're testing a prospect here in Fortuna. You know, he's got an A-1 record. He's moving up. But he got a good record for a reason, and I think that the testing, the measuring stick here is Anthony Hamilton. You can beat Anthony Hamilton. We're going to start doing something with this guy. I also want to take a chance with Fortuna. Since I don't know too much about his fighting career, I'm going to give him a unanimous decision. You know, because, like I said, Hamilton is a serviceable heavyweight. He's never going to be a great heavyweight. But Fortuna, I think that they're giving him Hamilton for a reason. I think they're giving him Hamilton to test him out. And I that's the value of this kid. And so I'm taking a Fortuna in a unanimous decision, 30-27.
Wow.
Yep.
Darn, you guys hardly ever surprise me because you guys are so learned in the game. But whoa, I'm shocked, you guys. I'm not joking. Angela Hill, a huge underdog. Andrade is a huge favorite. Fortuna in this case, a plus 160. Anthony Hamilton, a minus 185. I'm going to go with the favorite, guys. Marco's right. On paper, and you guys are right, that Fortuna has a much better record. Looks like he can be a talented fighter, but he's making his UFC debut, has never faced UFC talent. And, oh, by the way, guys, he's going up 20 pounds. So, I don't know, guys. Smaller fighter versus a known commodity. I'm taking Hamilton, and I'm taking Hamilton quite easily. Actually, guys, with my eyes closed, I'm taking Hamilton via TKO or KO in probably the first round, guys.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
Good for you. Nothing.
There you go. Hold on. Sticking to my guns. You know what? Normally, guys, it's me taking the risk, and you guys are putting it right by the book safe. Boy, you guys are me. I'm going straight by the book this time. That's weird. All right, guys. Let's move.
Are risking. I think you're the one that's going straight by the book. I think we're the ones that are taking the chances here.
Yeah, that's what I said. Yeah, you guys are normally I'm the biggest risk, and you guys are playing it safe. I'm shocked. You guys are you guys are being risky, and I'm the one that's always with the crazy picks. Although, by the way, who's number one in the picks against?
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
That's right. All right, guys.
Some dude that live in Bruno, California, man. Some dude.
There you go.
It's without only because it's your son, we have to let you win. That's what.
There you
that's
go.
Why you're,
thank you,
guys. That's why you're winning. Because it's your show. You have to win.
I appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Yeah, we're
you know what, guys? We always said we were down with, you know what, guys? I took the song off. Darn. Where's the OSP song? We always said we're down with OSP, right? Darn, I took the
as
song
as a matter
off.
Of fact, I have them down here on my paper as OPP.
That's right. OSP, yeah, you know me. Let's go up to it, guys. Ovince St. Preux, OSP, 33 years young, 6'3", and actually, I think.
Hey there.
Hello. We lost him?
I think so.
No!
Okay, so he's 6 foot.
Yeah,
we can
hear you now. Darn it. The robot.
You're skipping. No!
Darn, still?
Excuse me?
Are you there, dude? Technical.
Is it still? Darn it.
Yeah, we can.
TJ, who's your mama?
Darn.
You're the one that we cannot hear. We can hear the radio and the rocks. We cannot hear you.
All right, hang on. I'm going to call in.
No, there you go.
Hang on, guys.
Now you're good. You're good now.
Don't move. All right.
Yeah.
All right, here we go, guys.
Go ahead.
OSP will be. Are we okay?
Yeah.
You guys can hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
All right, as long as I don't sound like R2-D2. All right, here we go, guys. OSP will be fighting a guy I never heard of. Hold on, I think Connor just called for that.
Who the fuck is that guy?
Volkan Cousin Oezdemir. I don't even know if I'm pronouncing this right. That's when Proteus usually does this.
TJ, who's your mama?
Never heard of this guy, guys. 27 years old, 6-1. This 205er guys is team. Have you ever heard of that? No. All right. He's made your UFC debut. Yeah, has fought in Bellator twice and actually was 50-50 Bellator, guys. TKO win over Josh Lanier. A loss to Kelly Adamson. Has won two straight, guys, via TKO and decision. This is going to be interesting, guys. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah, we can. Go ahead.
And he's going up against Marco. I think what they're trying to do is build OSP back up and get his broken arm back because he's taken two straight losses. He's going up against OSP, you know me, 6'3". Of course, OSP, 19-9. I think he's a better fighter than that, guys, but certainly hasn't shown it. In his last three, guys, he's 2-3, beating Pat Cummings, losing to Glover Teixeira, beating Cavalcante, losing to John Jones. Well, who doesn't, right? And then losing recently to Jenny Mann. We go to the one and only Marco from Waco. What you got?
Okay, this is all about OSP on this one, and I agree with you. They're trying to rebuild this guy, and they basically giving him what Luke Thomas has all the time, a tuna fight. this other guy is like, yeah, who the fuck is that guy? Never heard of the guy. He's got a 6-1 record, but exactly, I don't know about this guy at all. But they are putting this guy that we don't know about against a world-class fighter. I mean, let's not forget, you know, whether you agree or not, OSP fought for an interim championship. And they put him in there for a reason because he's a ranked fighter. He beat the crap, like the bricks out of Chuck on Rua with one punch. He's a guy that is very tricky. He can submit you. He can knock you out. Very athletic. And when OSP is on his game, he can beat anybody in the planet not named John Jones. I'm taking OSP on this one. I'm taking him early. I'm taking him with a submission on the second round because they're saying this other kid, like usually happen with that I got new in the UFC, he's going to try to wrestle fuck OSP, and OSP is going to just say, hey, hell no, give me your neck and let me put a dart choke on you and choke you out. So OSP by darts or rear naked choke on the second round.
Wow. Sorry, we go to the lovely Pam. OSP versus Cousin.
Oezdemir. You know what? I really don't know a lot about this guy. He has 9 wins, 1 KO by submission, a Kimura submission, 10 first-round finishes, and he is on a 2-fight winning streak. But I think I'm kind of going a little bit like with Marco. I think that what they did is that they give this fight to OSP kind of like as a warm-up fight to get him prepped for kind of like to, you know, like when you grease the chains and stuff like that. I think that's what this guy is. to look at, you know, he went, you know, he went the five rounds with John Jones. I was actually there for that fight. And he actually, you know, he did pretty well. He stood his ground with John Jones, loses against Glover, which is not something to be shameful about because Glover, you know, that's a great fighter right there. You know, wins over Mauricio Hua. I just think that experience-wise that OSP is going to bring more to the table, and I think he's probably going to be maybe a little bit too much for this guy to handle, this kind of new and unknown. So I'm going with OSP, and I'm taking a second-round knockout on this one.
You know what, guys? We're by the way, I called in the show because the other thing wasn't working. So hopefully I sound a little better now. OSP, of course, a minus 335 to come back on Cousin. I'll go by his nickname. A plus 275, guys. I'm with you. I think this is to build OSP back up. I think it's going to end via some sort of KO. Let's just say KO in the first. And so I'm going OSP, yeah, you know me, over the Cousin.
Yeah, you sound much better, by the way.
All right.
Yes.
How about that? See? I'm not as dumb as I look, guys. Let's go up to, boy, you know what? This is not a bad card, Marco. Let's go up to it, guys. We go up to the Abel Trujillo, the killer, 33 years young, guys. He's 5'8", 155, usually, of course, a lightweight, 15-6, guys. The one and only Killa Trujillo has gone, let's see, 4-1, guys, in his last five, beating junkie favorite Jamie Varner, losing to Ferguson. No shame in that game, right? Losing to T-Bow, beating T-Bow, beating Tony Sims, beating Rinaldi. He's going up against the one and only James Vick, who has been pretty impressive, guys. 6'3", much taller fighter, 29 years young, guys. He did lose to my boy, Benil Dariush, friend to the show. But before that, guys, he was undefeated. So we go to the beautiful Pam, James Vick versus the killer, Abel Trujillo. What you got?
Okay, Abel, last fight, because I remember I actually did watch him fight, and it's been almost a year, not quite a year. And I mean, it was a pretty good fight. It was went all three rounds, unanimous decision. I think that he is pretty well-rounded. Submissions, 21% submission, 34%, striking, 46% takedown. So he's more of an explosive fighter, where James Vick is almost 70% of his fighting comes from boxing, but he does have good cardio. Trujillo actually is a Southern boy. He's from North Carolina. I got to go with Abel Trujillo on this one. I think it's going to go third round decision.
Wow. All right, Marco, before we go to you, of course, this is a pick'em. Like, literally, it's a pick'em. It's a minus 110 all across the board. We go to the man from Waco. Marco, what you got?
Okay. I don't know the James Big High Train, bro. Trujillo he's a really good fighter, but he's a little bit wild and undisciplined when it comes to his striking and his approach to the fight. I will actually say his fight IQ is not the highest. On the other hand, James Vick is a really good technical striker, and he's not a wild for a reason. He's probably like a crossroad fight for Vick and Trujillo. Vick on his way up, and Trujillo hovering in the middle on his way down. I'm picking Big, and I'm picking Big on this one. I'm picking Big to TKO Trujillo on the second round. He's going to overwhelm this guy with his striking. Like I said, Trujillo throws wild, loopy punches, and Big is a most refined technical strike. He's going to be able to counterpunch this guy and catch him with something. And once Trujillo goes to the ground, he's just going to, like, keep hitting him until the referee pulls him off him. So I'm picking Big with a TKO on the second round.
Wow. And Pam, what did you go method and round?
I said a third round decision. I said it's going all three.
I'm going to stick with Pam on this one, Marco. I'm going with James Vick on this one, just in terms of I'm sticking with Pam in terms of rounds. I think it's going to be a decision, but I'm sticking with you on this one. I'm not on the James Vick bandwagon. I am driving, of course, the Francis Ngannou bandwagon, but I'm going with the Texas executioner via decision all three rounds, guys. I'm picking James Vick. Nothing. All
good
right,
for
guys.
You.
You guys never like my picks. Good Lord, I can't win on this one, right, Pam?
Excuse me, bitch.
All right, Pam, I'm going to go back-to-back with Marco on this one because I'm going to pick what I think. Actually, it's Buffalo Blues' favorite fighter, the beautiful Alexa Grasso. But I think Marco's a fan of her, too, just like I am. But we go with Alexa Grasso fighting, of course, Felice Herring. Felice Herring, of course, one of Junkie's favorite and a tough alumnus. The little bulldog, of course, 32 years young, 5'4". 11-6, guys, and I thought she was actually on her way out after beating Heather Jo Clark, who I love, in Bellator, making her Invicta debut. Obviously, she didn't do that well in tough, but she lost to Tisha Torres via decision, beat Lisa Ellis, who I don't think is of UFC caliber, unfortunately, via submission, lost to PVZ, which I was kind of shocking. I thought PVZ was going to win, but I think PVZ dominated. Herring, of course, beat the beautiful Kylie Currie, which I was actually – and she looked good. She was in great shape. She's going up against Marco, the lovely Alexa Grasso, the Mexican fighter from Guadalajara, Mexico, of course, or if I want to be honest, Mexico, for those in the know. Age 23, guys, 5'5", 115, so she is a little bit of a taller fighter. As the beautiful Pam would say, everything else is virtually identical. She was a killer, guys, in Invicta. She beat everyone there. Jody Escoville, anyway, Mizuki. No one ever calls her by her last name. Everyone just calls her Mizuki. Alita Gray, no relation to the great 50 Shades of Gray. Nothing. I got crickets on that one, guys. All right, guys. Beat, of course, boy, something they both have in common, beating the lovely Heather Jo Clark. We go to the one and only Marco from Waco, the beautiful Alexa Grasso, who I think is an up-and-coming superstar, versus the little bulldog, Felice Herring.
Ah, man, I got to go with my homegirl, Alexa Grasso. This girl boxing is beautiful to watch. She, every time she gets into a cage, she gets better. And as cool as Felice Herring is, and she's like too inconsistent. She wins one, lose one, win one, lose one. And Alexa Grasso, they're investing on this girl. They want her to be the next superstar for the Mexican market. You know, her, Yael Rodriguez, if Cain Velasquez ever get his shit together, you know, guys like that, they want them to succeed in Mexico. You know, it's a huge on top market they're like investing on. And Alexa Grasso, they're putting all their chips on her. That is why she's fighting Felice Herring right now. Felice Herring is not going to be able to, you know, surprise Alexa Grasso. I think her grappling has come a long way. She's very difficult to take down. And on the feet, Felice Herring is going to get marked up, and she's going to get marked up ugly. It's going to be actually tough to watch. I think she's going to get Felice Herring out on the second round. It's going to be a TKO due to a strike. She's going to get overwhelmed. Eventually, it's going to fall down, and the referee is going to have to pull Alexa out of Felice Herring's way. I'm thinking Alexa Grasso big, and I think this gate is probably going to be a very, very soon future contender against Joanna Jędrzejczyk.
Wow. I don't know if Felice Herring can ever get ugly, to be honest with you, but wow. I pretty much agree with you. Let's go to the lovely Pam. Alexa Grasso versus Felice Little Bulldog Herring. What you got?
Well, I'm not getting on the Grasso bagwagon, but I'm, you know, looking at the difference in fighting. One is a striker. One is basically a submission artist. And so you know, you have to kind of, okay, is it going to go boxing or is it going to try to go submission? I just think that right now that Grasso's on fire. She has 4 wins by KO, 4 by decision, 4 first round finishes, 3 of her 4 knockouts ended in 36 seconds or less. Her first 3 fights lasted a combined 63 seconds. So, you know, looking at that, you know, that kind of says something right there. Where Herrig, she did really well when she fought out of, what was her last fight in Chicago, wasn't it? She was fighting, she was like the hometown favorite. You know, looking
yeah,
at her, she is a little more experienced. She's you know, pro kickboxing. But I just don't see her being able to stand up and box with Grasso. You know, I could go out on a limb and say Herrig is going to submit her, but I think Grasso just has more cardio and is probably just going to, you know, box and just box her kind of silly. I'm saying it's going to go 2 rounds on this one, a TKO on this one.
Oh, Grasso, right?
Grasso, yeah.
I have a real soft spot for Felice Herrig, guys, because at the time, when I first started getting into MMA and actually kickboxing, I watched a show called Fight Girls, and she was in it in the Oxygen channel. I don't know if you guys remember that show. That was with a long time ago.
That was old school.
Yeah, but that's when I got into it, and that's what made me I had just gotten into kickboxing. And watching that really, really pushed me forward. Obviously, I went really well in my career with that, only not. But, guys, as much as I like the little bulldog, we were talking about the bandwagon, Marco. I'm not on the Alexa Grasso bandwagon. I'm driving it and allowing anyone to come on board. I think this one's a star. I hope they don't push her too fast, because just like Yair Rodriguez, I think she has all the potential, but she's a boxer. She is a boxer first and foremost, just like one of our girls, actually, who will be making another, Irene Aldana, who will be fighting soon. You know what, guys? I just don't see there's any way Felice Herrig wins, guys. I agree with Pam. I think it's going to be a TKO in the second round, and Marco said the same thing, right, that it's going to not be good. I'm picking Grasso all the way, guys, and I would be surprised if she loses as a minus 300 Felice on a comeback, plus 250. I just don't see there's any way this I just don't see any way Herrig wins, guys. Let's go to the one.
Herrig, I think she's just matched with this, you know.
Okay. You said you're driving the bandwagon. I built,
yes, sir.
I put the wheels on, I put the engine in, and I customized the stereo. Yeah, I own that bitch.
I'm in the back seat then. I'm in the back seat on the Alexa Grasso bandwagon. Marco, of course, who built it. Buffalo Blue, who's driving it. And I'm in one of the back seats, guys. All right, guys, here we go. We go to the main event. And you know what, guys? I'm actually kind of surprised, although seeing the – we'll get into UFC Denver numbers, not very good. But seeing those numbers, maybe I'm kind of surprised that the main event is Bermudez versus the Korean Zombie. Does anyone ever call him by his name? Let's get into it, guys. Chan Sung Jung. That's why I said it. Chan Sung Jung. That's what I think what my mother called me once. The Korean Zombie, guys, 29 years young, 5'9", 145, 13-4. And I think this guy's a killer, guys. I know he lost to Jose Aldo, but you know what? There's no shame in that game, but ring rust is real, guys. He hasn't fought in almost 3.5 years, guys, but before not fighting, of course, beat Leonard Garcia, beat Hamnick, I ruined that one, beat Dustin, the Diamond Poirier, and of course lost, no shame in that game, to Jose Aldo, who I think, honestly, guys, I think he's a legend. in the sport. He's going up against the one and only Dennis the Menace Bermudez, 30 years young, 5'6". Of course, Dennis, good long street guys where he beat Hayden, Holloway. Darn, he beat everyone. The Carpenter, Clay Guida. Then he lost to Ricardo Lamas via submission. I was shocked by that one, guys. Lost to Jeremy Stevens when Stevens was just getting hot via vicious TKO. Beat Calagiri, who hasn't recently, right? And beat Hani Becerra. We go to the one and only Marco from Waco. What you got?
Before there was a Superboy, Duho Choi. Before there was a Maestro, Don Jong Kim. The original tough Korean was the Korean zombie, Chan Sung Young. You know, the words that he put against Leona Garcia and the beat that he put on Dustin Poirier. This guy is tailor-made for tough fights.
Yep.
I am such a big fan of Chan Sung Young, man. I do not care that he's been gone for 10 and a half years. I was stationed in Korea. I see what they do to these guys in the Republic of Korean Army. The Rock Army beat the shit out of their soldiers. He's been rough up, so he's not going to be, like, unaware of getting beat up is all about. I know Dennis Bermudez has been the most active fighter. I know Dennis Bermudez is a really good fighter, but I've seen it's a five-round fight. And Chan Sung Jung drags you into a mud that is really difficult to get out of. He drags you into these fights that you need to, like, bend your soul out because he always comes forward. He's always pressuring you. He's always hitting you. And he don't care if you hit him. He'll hit you back. And if he goes to the ground, he's going to put you in a twister. So I am all about the Korean zombie, dude. I don't care that he's been gone for 10 and a half years. I'm going to ride out with my homeboy. And I think he's going to put up a classic fight of the night kind of event. And I think he's going to take Dennis Bermudez out with a freaking rear naked choke on the fourth round. It's going to be a scramble. You know, he's going to hit. Dennis Bermudez is going to fall. And Chan Sung Jung is going to jump on his back and choke him out. Welcome back, Korean zombie. And, you know, let's ride into the stances trying to freaking eat brains.
Wow. Good Lord. Pam, I'm going to admit, I'm kind of surprised. Bermudez, the minus 200, the comeback on the Korean Zombie, plus 170. I'm shocked. Pammy, what say you?
Be double surprised because they don't call the Korean Zombie the Zombie for nothing. Yeah, he has been asked. It's been, you know. I mean, you know.
Sorry, I had to give you that one.
He's completed 2 years of military service, so it's not like he's been sitting on the couch eating Cheetos and, you know, picking his toenails. He's been active. And he's aggressive. He has punching power. He's got a granite jaw. And all of his wins have either come by TKOs or submissions. So keep that in mind. Now, you go back to Bermudez. And although, okay, you know, he does, you know, he's doing very well, ranked number 9. But I'm looking at, you know, you're looking at his wins. Everything is a decision, submission, decision. Like you said, he's a decisionator. And, yes, ring rust is real, but I'm going with the zombie on this one. I think yes, he took time off from the UFC, but that doesn't mean that he was inactive this whole time. So I'm going with the Korean Zombie. I think his cardio is on point, but I think it's going to be a third-round decision. And I think, because he's also very good with his right, it's going to be a knockout third round.
Darn. You know what, guys? I agree with Marco that the original Korean Superboy is the Korean Zombie, although not by his looks. That's for sure. Hold on. Where's my rim shot? Well, wasn't the Korean Zombie in the Sprint commercial? I'm a zombie? No? Nothing? Okay.
No.
All right. Hang on.
Actually, the Korean Zombie was on, like, if you go on YouTube, you can see some Korean Zombie commercials in Korean.
Oh, darn. Look at that. I didn't know that. All right. But you know what, guys?
He was celebrated in Korea, dude.
I've been wrong once with ring rust, and that was with Dominic Cruz. And every single time I think ring rust isn't real, guess what? Ring rust is real. Either that or they just degrade. I don't know what it is. And yeah, he's been he hasn't been Cheeto fingers, right, sitting on his couch. But ring rust is real, guys. And when you fight someone like Jose Aldo at its peak, you know, 3.5 years ago almost, and then you're fighting someone that isn't as good as Dennis the Menace, isn't as good, of course, as Jose Aldo. I get it, but ring rust, there's no way you can be away from, listen, the Marco served our country and the lovely Pam, who has in some way, you know, obviously related to people that serve our country. I don't know what it goes to, cause I've never been in the service, guys. So, you know, definitely Marco would know probably more than I, but I don't. Yeah. Go ahead.
Go ahead, man. Go ahead. So I'm going to tell you, like, I got a high level of fitness in the Army, high level of fitness. I wore and like hand in hand with the Korean soldiers, and their regimental fitness overshadows ours by a tenfold. These guys get treated like dirt. They get smacked around all the time. And they put the Korean soldier in charge of their hand-to-hand combat training on his unit. So it's not like he didn't have fresh bodies to practice every day. So the Korean soldier did not just rest on, like they say, yeah, he was on a security job up there in Korea. Even if he was sitting behind a desk, you know, pushing a pencil, he was still getting smacked around, dude, because the Korean army doesn't play. Yeah, you see the army here is rough. The Korean army is 10 times rougher, dude.
Even with that, guys, I got to go with my gut. I think it's going to be a decision. I think Dennis the Menace, the Decisionator, is going to take this just simply because of ring rust, because I think the Korean Zombie's a better fighter. There's no doubt about it. But I think ring rust is real, guys, so I'm choosing Dennis the Menace.
So it's going to go all five rounds, even though Dennis Bermudez has never been on a five-round fight. That's what you're telling me.
Ooh, damn. Darn, now you're making me think. Yeah, I do. I don't think ring rust is real, guys, and there's no way I could see Dennis finishing the Korean Zombie. But by the same token, okay, I see the Korean Zombie getting winded. So I just don't – yeah, I just don't see it, guys. I think ring rust is real, guys. Yeah. All right, guys. There you go. All right, guys. Maybe that's my only loss there on tonight's card. All right, let's go. We have a little bit of time, and quickly, let's go into the spotlight fight of the night, guys. A fight that's not in the main card, but it is worth watching. I'll give you one, what mine is, because I always like to throw the bone there, guys. I'm going with, and if you guys have any of these fights, great. I'm not going to give any details on it. I'll just pick what mine is. And you know me, guys. I like the women. I'm going with Rocky Pendleton's girlfriend. Or are they married yet? Tisha Torres versus Beck Rawlings.
That's the fight,
Marco,
I'm looking
at. Married?
I don't think they're married, though, but she announced on Twitter today that she is contemplating retirement because she wants to start a family.
Wow. All right, so I'm going with the smarty, Tisha Torres versus the one that I think actually has a really beautiful face, Beck Rawlings. Marco, what's your spotlight fight of the night?
You took mine, bro. You took mine,
but no, but you guys can get into detail. I just picked and chose the fight.
I'm thinking also the Tisha Torres Beck Rawlings fight is the only other fight that actually interests me on this card. Tisha Torres, I am highly on the Tisha Torres train. You know, she was so good on the Ultimate Fighter. I mean, she's a little bit undersized, but the Tiny Tornado, she's a quality fighter. And when she's so fine to watch, you know. I think she's going to, you know, I'm going to make a pick. I think Tisha Torres is going to beat Beck Rawlings. And Tisha Torres just belong on a higher profile fight than this one. I don't know why she's so low on the totem pole on this card, but yeah, that's the fight that I'm actually looking forward to.
Guys, I'll give you another spotlight fight that I was going to pick before I saw that Beck Rawlings was fighting on this, because I like her face a lot. I'm not going to lie. I'm going to go with this one, guys. How about this? Let's go to a light heavyweight. We go sticking with the tough theme. How about Khalil Roundtree versus Daniel Jolly? I like this guy's nickname, Marco, the Werewolf Daniel, the Werewolf of Texas Jolly. 32 years young, 6'1", 205, guys. He's mainly a kickboxer, but I think this is going to be an interesting fight, and I'll tell you why, Marco and Pam, because I thought Khalil Roundtree and Tuff, I thought he was looking really good. I thought this kid would do something, and then he lost two straight, guys, to Andrew Sanchez and Tyson yep. Pedro, and lost bad, actually, to both, to Tyson Pedro specifically.
Yeah, I thought he was kind of flaky on Tuff. He was the one that kept breaking down crime because of his family and stuff like that. So I don't know. I don't know about this one. Grutzemacher, he's fighting out of Arizona. That might be an interesting one. He was one of the tough fighters as well. So that might be pretty interesting too.
Wow. All right, guys, let's get into before we close, let's get into this, guys. UFC Denver, let's put the bow on this, because interestingly enough, guys, man, it did some really poor ratings, Marco. Second lowest ratings in UFC on Fox history, and I actually enjoyed the card, guys. So, Marco, what's the you?
What was the rating?
It was, I don't know what the numbers were, but Junkie – staff writers wrote that it was the second lowest in the history of UFC on Fox.
Second lowest is still mean. Second lowest is still mean 2 million people saw it. Yeah. The lowest one was a 2 million mark. That is the lowest one, 2 million. So even if it is the second lowest, it still means that 2 million people saw it. So you put it in perspective, it didn't do too bad for the people that were there. But thank you for what it's worth. I still enjoy the card, dude. I mean, it was finishes on all four cards in the main event. Very impressive finishes, too. I love this kid, Jason Knight. I'm not religious one bit, dude. You know, I could care one bit about religion. But the kid won me over when he went on his knees and said a prayer to his father. Like, yeah, that kid is authentic. Mm-hmm. He don't care. And he wore his emotion on his sleeve. Plus, he's a really good fighter. Dave Francis Ngannou sent freaking Andrei Arlovski's head into orbit with that uppercut. Ngannou is going to get a high-profile top five fighter now. He graduated to the big leagues. Well, let's see. A little bit, Dana White is getting a little bit ahead by calling him champion and insulting his actual champion, you know.
Yeah, I thought that too. You're right.
He said, we never have a champion. Slow your roll there, Dana. Stipe Miocic is still your champion, and he can. I still see Stipe steamrolling this guy because he's still a little raw. What can we say about the Masvidal Cerrone fight? Everybody thought Cerrone was going to win this fight. Except you picked Masvidal.
Yeah, except for me. So,
good one on that. Masvidal, this is a turning point of his fighting career. He needed a fight like this, and now let's see what he does with it. Nobody ever doubted Masvidal. It's a good fighter. I never saw he was a great fighter, but he proved me wrong.
Let me ask you something. Let me interrupt you real quick. Do you think, and because this is, I was watching the fight, do you think he was that good or was Cerrone that bad? Because I'm looking at Cerrone, and I'm like, dude, where's your head movement? His head was, I mean, just a target. He should have just had a red target on his face thing. Hit me, because he kept his head so stationary. So was it that Masvidal was that good or that Cerrone was just that?
Well, the way I see it, Cerrone didn't have his best night. I mean, in the first 2 minutes of the fight, 2-3 minutes, he was actually competitive until Masvidal threw him out. And when Masvidal threw him out, the fight was over. He got his timing on those kicks, and he started sending the counter with the overhand right. And Cerrone was not moving his head, and there you go. That was the beginning of the end. So I'm going to get credit where credit is due. Masvidal, great performance, and Cerrone, he always does his shit. he goes in a real good winning streak. Everybody's talking to him about getting a title shot, and then he shuts the bank. So, thank you for what it's worth.
Do you think also that Cerrone may have gone into this a little bit overconfident and not have given the respect to Masvidal? Because he had even said that he didn't watch any tapes of Masvidal fight, and he said, that's for my trainers to watch. I'm just there to fight. So, you know, because if you look at his history, boxing seems to be his bane, because that is how Nate took him out. Nate just boxed the pants off of him. So, you know, I think he relies too much on his kickboxing, which, you know, I think that's what you're comfortable with. But boxing is his bane. And like I said, he just sat there with his head completely still, saying, you know, just punch me. And that's what happened.
Yeah, and I agree with you. Cerrone, he was overconfident. He was calling Masvidal a B-class fighter and completely overlooked him. He took this fight on 6 weeks' notice. So he needs to take a break and reassess. I mean, he is still a player on the 170 division, you know, the welterweight. He can always go back to 155. I doubt he will because, you know, the cuts are getting tougher for him. But let's keep credit where credit is due. Masvidal did a great job. He completely outclassed Cerrone, and he actually beat him twice, you know. Regardless of the controversy of the first round and the 1 second left, the guy won the fight twice. Last but not least, Shevchenko versus Peña. I think Peña is the future champion. This girl is not only elite striker, she got cardio for days. She's a black belt in judo, and that little nugget I wasn't aware of, and she demonstrated it with his beautiful cast the knee and trips, and, you know, putting Juliana Peña on her ass several times, and on the ground. Damn, man, her hip work and her movement, you know, sitting at the armbar was freaking beautiful. People don't realize that she tried that move twice, and the first time she had to bail, but she regained guard immediately. And that is very difficult to do, because when you shift your hips to get that armbar, you usually get position away, and you end up in side control. But she was able to, in the first attempt, you know, she had to bail and regain guard. And then on the second one, of course, she locked it and she did a beautiful, you know, like a rollover to secure the armbar. And Juliana Peña tried everything that she could to get out of it, but she was completely locked in. I am really high in Shevchenko as the next contender future champion. We saw her already fight Amanda, and she took everything that Amanda can bring to her. And the third round, on a three-round fight, she took over the fight. Everybody agrees that if there was two more rounds, Amanda Nunes was on her way to losing the fight. Shevchenko is so composed, man. She's a stone-cold killer. A little bit undersized, but that doesn't seem to affect her. You know, she outclassed Holly Holm on a striking game. She outclassed Juliana Peña, a grappler, on a grappling game. And I think they truly believe that Shevchenko is a future champion. I am on the Shevchenko bandwagon, and I think right now, aside from Joanna Jędrzejczyk, you know, the strawweight champion, she's the second best female fighter on the planet, and she got 2 wins over Joanna Jędrzejczyk in Muay Thai, mind you.
Wow. Oh, no. Hold on. Marco, you just incited a brawl, because you know that Pam's going to fight for her girl. So, the one and only trash talker extraordinaire, Amanda Nunes.
I mean, I like it, but the thing you have to realize is these girls are getting better and better and better. You know, so the Amanda that she fights next time is going to be a better Amanda than she fought last time. You know, so they just keep stepping up the game, and they're just, to me, just amazing to watch, you know. Is she a future champion? Yeah, I see it, but, you know, I'm giving kudos to the one that has the belt right now, because I think she, you know, she earned her place. But I think if they do fight, when they do fight, I just think it's going to be an amazing fight, regardless of who wins. I just think it's going to be an amazing fight.
I'm going to quote what Shevchenko said about Juliana Peña. Shevchenko said, Juliana Peña is a good fighter, but I am a master.
And I say the same way about Shevchenko and Amanda Nunes. Again, Amanda Nunes is a great fighter, but Shevchenko is a master. And that is the difference. Mm-hmm.
Nothing? Yeah, oh boy, I thought for sure Pam would fight for her girl, the lioness, but not, huh?
The thing is, there's few fighters that I don't like and that I don't respect because I think they're just so full of crap. But, you know, she may not be my girl, but, you know, I respect her as a fighter. I think she has great talent. And, you know, I'm not going to say anything ugly about somebody that, you know, I have a great respect for, you know, unlike someone who shall be named that I just could give a rat's, you know, what about. But that's another subject.
Well, no, you went straight into it, so let's go into it, because I'm assuming you're talking about Honda Halsey, who, let's be honest, guys, Dana White says, breaking news. Go ahead, Marco.
Before you say anything, I think Paige VanZant has to watch out, because Dancing with the Stars had to take a look at Shevchenko and her dance moves, man. She needs to go into Dancing with the Stars. Yeah, she can dance.
Yeah.
But isn't she a professional dancer, though? That would take her out of being Dancing with the Stars, right?
She's in Peru, but not in the United States.
Ballroom dancer, I thought, in Peru? No, Argentina? One of those places.
No, Peru. Peru, I think.
But you know what? She's not a belly dancer like me.
That's right. And doesn't have the great photos that you do. Hello? Hold on, cue Careless Whisper on that one. You see those photos, Marco?
Yeah, man, my ex-wife was a belly dancer because she's from Turkey.
Oh, nice.
Ooh. Darn. Ooh. Hold on.
I know.
Let's play the music for the belly dancers.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
Oh, God. Okay, enough.
Yeah, we need some belly dancing music. You know what, Pam? Give me some, text me some belly dancing music so I can have that whenever we talk about that. But, guys, let's go into this. So, guys, another two fighters flagged, of course. Ricardo Abreu was flagged, and Justin Ledette was flagged. Question for you guys, after what you saw, because I don't recall anyone really, really talking about, you know what, actually, cue the music, because Mackenzie Dern is returning at LFA 6. I need to really cue the music for that. What do you guys see next for Masvidal? Because I always thought that Masvidal takes rounds off, and I like the kid, but I think he takes rounds off. I don't think he takes the fight game as seriously for Cerrone, guys. I think Marco's right. I just think it's a thing, or maybe Pam said it. I can't recall. I just think he fights too often, guys, and I think it finally caught up to him.
I think that it does catch up with you because, you know, and I'm taking, okay, this is not relevant, but sort of it is, okay? It's different when you're training and when you're fighting because when I'm practicing at home, I'm, you know, practicing. But when you actually perform, the energy is different. Everything is different. And I kid you not, I'm sore for about a week after I perform because, I mean, every muscle in my body is sore because it's a different performance training than performing. So I think that he is fighting too often, and I don't think that he's given himself, like this last fight, he didn't watch any of the tapes of Masvidal. And so if he would have, you know, taken the time to watch, he would have known that Masvidal's boxing is on point, and he is quick. I mean, his foot movement, he's quick. So he would have known that. He would have known to look for those things. So I like that he likes to fight, but I think sometimes you need to give yourself a break, you know?
Marco?
I agree.
All right. Guys,
Cerrone is his own enemy, man. Cerrone is his own enemy for taking all these fights so often. Like I said, he keeps shooting himself in the foot. And Pan got a good point that his kryptonite over the years has been the good boxers. And not game planning for the guy. I don't think it's too much of the truth because, you know, he got a good team around him that probably planned for him. You know, we're talking about Greg Jackson and Mike and Wilton. Wilton Johnson. I can't say it.
Yeah.
So he got very good coaches around him that are planning around, you know, the fighters he got. But he should be a little bit more diligent and probably do his homework too.
Yeah, I agree with that, because you can't say, oh, you have to watch this and watch out for this and watch out for that if you don't know what you're watching out for. You have to have seen what Masvidal does in the ring to be prepared to, okay, this is what I got to watch out for, versus somebody telling you, hey, watch out, you know? And even they were telling him, you got to move that head.
That's what she said. Hold on. By the way, for those that listen to Fighter and the Kid like Marco and I, Marco, your boy Brendan Schaub had something to say about Valentina Shevchenko.
Who's going to fight this bitch?
Actually, he said that about Cyborg. He said that about Cyborg, actually. But one last thing, guys, before we end, I do want to get your reaction to one last thing. So let's talk this real quick, guys, because there has been some reaction to obviously Ronda Rousey making a comeback, but or not ever coming back. But I do have a question for you guys. With everything that we're seeing and not enough fighters, do you guys think that there's enough talent to continue having as many cards as we can? Because Marco, am I mistaken, or are these cards getting weaker and weaker?
Hills and valleys, man. Hills and valleys. Remember, 2014 was a really shitty year for the UFC. 2015 kind of sort of pick up again, and 2016 blew up. So it's peaks and valleys when it comes to the UFC. It's a down year at the beginning, you know. Yeah, nothing to be super excited about, but I truly believe that at the end of the year, it's going to pick up again. And remember, man, this sport is really cyclical. And all you need is like a breakthrough fight for a breakthrough fighter. And next thing you know, you got the next big thing. You know, everybody's high with Jair Rodriguez. Everybody's high with Alexa Grasso. You untap the Mexican market. Next thing you know, boom, you start having million pay-per-views again. Conor McGregor, you know, as much as you want to think, oh, his next fight is going to be with Floyd Mayweather and Ziggy Sol posturing, because at the end of the day, who owns their contract is the UFC, and that's where he's making his bread and butter. Without the UFC, there is no Conor McGregor, and he also knows that he's a very savvy businessman. He's just driving his price up right now. When it comes to Ronda Rousey, yeah, we got the news that Dana said, well, she will probably never see her again. The operating word there is probably. He doesn't really know. And until I hear her from the horse's mouth, I'm not going to believe it. She took a year off the last time before she came back. And I think she will come back, but she's not going to come back for another title fight. It's going to be more like a Brock Lesnar kind of a deal, a one-off, you know, for a big payday on a big, you know, event, you know, like an end-of-the-year event or a July event, probably in a year and a half from now. And that is what we want to see Ronda Rousey. The days of Ronda Rousey. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, I said, but do you think if she comes back, when she comes back, if she comes back, the next fight that they're going to give her, they're going to give her some scrub girl, and I don't mean that derogatory, but they're going to give her some girl that she can beat?
No, you know what I think, and it will make a lot of sense? It's going to be a trilogy fight with Misha Tate, because Misha's retired and Ronda's retired. Mm-hmm. And what an event would be to bring the both former champions by both legends of the sport on a third-time fight. You know, they got a story written already for them. They've been foes and enemies forever. You know, even when Misha Tate was on the booth the other day, she was talking about Ronda Rousey, say, my enemy and my foe, and then she talked really nicely about her. So I think they're going to, a year and a half from now, they're going to convince Misha Tate, they're going to convince Ronda Rousey to do it one more time, you know, for a shed lot of money. And that is when we're going to see Misha Tate and Ronda Rousey get on the cage. Because I don't see Misha is completely retired, and I don't see Ronda is completely retired. And that would be a good send-off for the both of them. So until I hear that from them, from the horse's mouth, I don't believe she's retired at all.
One last question for you guys before we go. I do want to touch quickly on Pam's favorite subject, Connor. But before we go into Connor, I want to ask you this, guys, because I didn't get a chance to ask you this, guys, and I asked the fellas on the Sunday show. But it seems like, listen, in my eyes, John McCarthy's the top referee that I've ever seen. And everyone says how great Herb Dean is, and I love Herb Dean. I really do like the guy. He's a junkie favorite, but darsh gone it. Guys, he's always in some sort of controversy, whether it's the Anderson Silva thing or the cage, the foot being stuck in a cage with Ellenberger, and now Cerrone. I don't know, guys. Is it me, Marco, or is there always some sort of controversy?
And I heard him, as much as I love him, and he's one of the great referees out there, he's been fumbling the football a lot lately, and you cannot deny that. McCarthy seldom gets himself on this kind of chance, but he's not free of guilt either. He has some of his little controversies himself. Not as often, and not as many lately. But Herdin lately has been fumbling the ball a little bit. Maybe it's because of the workload, man. These guys are almost up there every weekend, you know? Maybe he needs to take a little break and refresh his mind, because anybody can get burned out. And, you know, when you start getting burned out, you start, like, missing things and overlooking things. So who knows? But Herdin is still one of the greats, man. But I tell you who's going to be one of the greats soon, our own Aaron Maynard. So go ahead, Aaron. Become one of the greats. I'm pulling for you.
Yes. Shout out to Aaron.
You know who I like watching too is Mike Beltran. I really like watching him. I think he's a pretty good ref too.
I just think he likes rolling yards.
he got a killer do on his beard, man. I like the way he's thinking that the rolls with his beard. Yeah, Mike Beltran is pretty cool too.
Hey guys, let's close with this. And Pam's favorite subject, Pam, I'm going to throw it to you first. Conor McGregor, and you know what's funny? I spoke with Marco, and Marco said people were paying $5 for this event, and we ended up watching it for free for an hour later on YouTube. But I thought it was pretty interesting, and I thought it was even interesting, Pam, Dana's remarks about – and his face, actually. Dana's face when the Conor talk started. What say you, Pam, on Conor's comments and his what do you call it, Marco, his pay-per-view, I guess?
Yeah, it was a pay-per-view interview. It's an old school saying, but don't shit where you eat. Because, and you know what, and I think what it is, I mean, I don't like him, but he is the king of marketing, and he's trying to stay relevant. But for him to, when he starts trash-talking all these fighters and I'm thinking, dude, you were nothing. I mean, like I said, this dude didn't even have a pot to pee in. So who is he to degrade other fighters? And, you know, especially when he starts talking about my boys and how he made Nick and Nate. Nick and Nate had their fans way before Conor was even a thing. And even Joe Schilling did an interview where he said when Conor was up and coming that he idolized the Diaz brothers, that he wanted to be one of the Diaz brothers, that he actually called himself the Irish Diaz brother. So, you know,
wow,
I just think he's just so full of himself, and he will be dethroned. I mean, just mark my words. And I mean, you're sitting here talking about the champion who never defended a belt.
Ooh, damn.
Yeah.
Marco?
Let's not forget that the week before his UFC debut, this guy almost missed his flight because he had to go pick up his welfare check in Ireland. So, yeah, you need to remember where you come from there, Connor. But
yeah. He's
a multimillionaire now, so, you know, money changes people. But all this freaking, this pay-per-view interview, I mean, Ariel did a good job with the questions, mind you. I like the way Ariel, you know, he didn't pull any punches on the questions. But this whole thing is posturing. I mean, I think Connor really wants a Floyd Mayweather fight because it's a lot of money on the line, and that is undeniable. Mm-hmm.
But the way he's going about it, you know, trying to throw shade on the UFC, is the wrong way to go about it, because the UFC can tie him up in court for years, mm-hmm. and he will never see that fight, you know. So when Dana White said that he want to go on that route, it would be an epic fall, he's not lying. I mean, Randy Couture tried to get out of his contract.
Oh, that's true.
See what happened to him, you know. Freaking Aloha tried and Aloha failed. So be careful what you wish for that, Conor. You know, you might be rich, but you're not as rich as the UFC is. And they got deep pockets and all the time in the world to drag you on into court. So he's trying to pull this stone of the Ali Act, and, you know, the Ali Act, you know, protect boxers. That's why she's getting a boxing license. But he still got a contract, and a judge and a jury had to decide on that. So I will see. If they're going to make this fight happen, it's going to be with the UFC involved, because they love money too. Everybody loves money. But his next fight is going to be in the UFC, the winner of Ferguson Nurmagomedov, or maybe the trilogy with Nate Diaz, because money-wise, the Nate Diaz fight makes more sense than Khabib or Nurmi.
Well, the funny thing is, let me just say something before we end, is I was reading some of the posts, because we were back and forth on the fight night, and it was one of the posts that came up when he did that fight, and because it was during one of the fight nights. And somebody had commented that, you know, Conor fans are watching his interview. Real fight fans are watching the fight.
Ouch. What if you're doing both like me?
You know.
No, you didn't.
All right. Well, I have to admit, I get a kick out of Conor. I'd be lying if I told you I didn't, guys. So I guess I'm the only Conor fan left. But, guys, let's get into this. As we're closing right now, does anyone have either a song of the week or the Twitter follow of the week? Because I don't have a TV show of the week, guys. I wish I had one. I wasn't prepared. I was flying.
Well, my show of the week is, I told you I'm taboo, but I'm on Shameless by Netflix. If you haven't seen it, that's a pretty funny show to watch.
Marco?
Man, this week I've been listening a lot to freaking Five Rounds with Brett Okamoto. I love what they're doing. Ooh. With the new format of their podcast. So if you want to get like the ESPN point of view on of your MMA news, take a listen to Five Rounds with Brett Okamoto, brother.
Hey, I got something for you guys to watch. So it doesn't come out until tomorrow, but on the CW network, and I've never heard, I don't know anything that's on the CW network, but they have a show called Riverdale that's coming up tomorrow, guys, and it's based on the Archie comics, believe it or not. Yeah, it sounds interesting. All right, guys, do you have a Twitter follow of the week?
Oh, you know me. Follow me at Maldo Marco. Follow Tony at DJ Tony. Follow Pam at, what is it?
Pandora Box.
Pandora Box. Follow the podcast at Another MMA Cast. Follow at MMA Junkie Radio. We gotta meet you guys. Catch you guys next week.
Star himself. The Pam, do you have a Twitter follow of the week like Marco did?
Look, follow me at Tom
Dora. Pam, I lost you.
I said follow me at Tom Dora.
There you go. That's a good follow. Especially if you want to see some damn good photos, follow Pam. And my Twitter follow of the week, guys, is the lovely Alexa Grasso. Follow her at AlexaGrasso. Follow Pam at Pandora Box. Follow Marco at Maldo Marco. Follow us at Another MMA Cast. Follow my boy Proteus at Proadios. We hope he's back soon. And guys, we're out of here. Pam, you're going to do Gone. Ready? Pam, here we go. You're going to take over for Proteus this week.
I like that.
We're gone.
There we go. All right, and of course, we always close the show with your boy. Hit it.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.